Welcome to One to Another with Dr. Pete Pavelic on today's edition of One to Another.
Faith is the foundation of our faith. You know where we all start our journey? I started my journey in the same place you started yours. We all started in faith. We all took a step of faith. We put our faith in Christ to forgive us of our sins. We put our faith in Jesus to wash us clean. We put our faith in Him to save our souls. We put our faith in Him to set us free. We left the comfort of trusting ourselves and trusting our ways and trusting what we had, and we joined Him in the adventure of a lifetime in faith.
Did you know that every disciple of Christ started with the same first step? Pastor Pete shares with you that the very first step with any new believer is the step of faith. Faith is the foundation of our foundation of faith. To receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you must first believe in Him. That act of believing comes through faith alone. Pastor Pete encourages you that Scripture affirms even the smallest of faith. It says that even if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can do incredible things. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Pete or help support this program, go to onetoanotherradio.org. Now let's join Pastor Pete in the book of Leviticus chapter 19 as he continues part 3 of his message, The Power of Principles.
You're going to reap what you sow. So he says, hey, if you want to reap a little, sow a little. If you want to reap a lot, sow a lot. And he understands that the more your faith grows in this area, and the more you start to sow, and the more you start to trust, and the more you start tapping into this principle, the more blessed you're going to be, and the more you're going to want to do it. The hardest part, I think, when it comes to generosity is taking those first steps in those early years. That's when it's the hardest. But after you start experiencing the goodness of God through it, you want to do it more and more and more and more. Because you understand that this principle brings blessing to your life. The principle of the harvest is also at play when it comes to how we serve the Lord. Not just how we give to the Lord, not just how we give to others, but also in how we serve God. Look at Galatians 6, 9 and 10. Let us not get tired of doing good, for we will reap or we will harvest at the proper time if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith. You see, your faithfulness to God and your obedience to the Lord and your service to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords produces a great harvest for the kingdom and blessing for your life. It's the principle of the harvest. You don't have to believe that it works. You don't have to believe in it at all, but it's still there. Let me share one more with you. This is one of the things Jesus said about the principle of the harvest. And here he's using it to talk about evangelism, because the principle of the harvest also works in spiritual ways as well. Matthew 9, 37 through 38, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, he says, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Now, this is one harvest we should all want to take part in. This is different than a watermelon harvest. This is different than a cantaloupe harvest. This is the harvest of souls. This is sinners turning into saints. This is people who are far from God coming into the presence of God and seeing the face of God for the first time. I tell you, there is no blessing you will ever experience in your life that will outdo that. When you know that God used you in some small, very insignificant way, but still He chose to use you as a part of His process to change a sinner's life, you should want to be a part of that harvest. But we can't reap what we don't sow. We can't harvest a field we won't work in. It's the Lord's harvest, and we get to participate in it. And we should desire to participate in it. But again, we have to understand that obeying God's principle is what actually produces this blessing in our life. I pray that every single one of you have an opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord in your life. You lead one person to the Lord, you ain't gonna stop with one, I promise you that. Because you're going to feel that blessing, you're going to sense that blessing, you're going to want more of that blessing, and you're going to want to go out there and sow some more seeds and harvest some more. Many people, though, especially in today's day, have never led anybody to Christ. You don't know the blessing of this principle. It's there, you've just never tapped into it. In verse 38, Jesus outlines one way we can all participate in this. He says, therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Pray. We can all do that, can't we? You can pray. You can start right now praying for the harvest. Earlier this year, I got to go overseas and do some work with our underground church networks. By the way, 3 more churches have been planted. I got some pictures in this week of some more baptisms. It's incredible. One of the villages, one of our main planters went into, as far as we know, had never heard the gospel before, and there were like 13 people who came to know the Lord in the course of a week there. Pretty incredible thing. But one of the things I love the most about that trip, and one of the things that impacted me the most about that trip, is that 10:02 every morning over there, something special happened. At 10:02 every morning, all the believers' phones would start going off. Beep, 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 beep. They had different alarms set, but in unison, they would all go off. Because at 10:02 every morning, every believer over there prays for the harvest. They pray that God would send workers into the harvest field and that God would give them the courage and the boldness to harvest whatever field he has them in. They do it at 10:02 because Luke 10:2 is Luke's version of what we just read in Matthew 9:38. I came back, I set my phone to 10:02 when I was over there and participated in that. Like I said, it was super impactful. I got back here to the States and I found for me, 10:02 didn't work very good. I mean, I did it for a while. It's just by 10:02 in the morning, I was already full steam ahead. And I found myself having these really short prayers or having to, you know, bow my head in the middle of a Zoom meeting and just say a really quick prayer when I was halfway distracted with what was going on. I didn't like that. And so I was reading through the Gospel of Matthew. I read through a gospel every week. I do Matthew the first week of the month, so on and so forth, 4 gospels. I do one every week. I read through it several times usually. But I was reading through Matthew, and I got to Matthew 9:38, and I said, you know what? 9:38 p.m. is a really good time for me. Because at 9:38 p.m., I'm starting to wind the day down, but I'm still focused, and I'm still fresh. I'm usually getting ready right at that point to start doing my evening devotional, my evening prayer time. And so I set my alarm for 9:38 p.m. And so at 9:38 p.m., every day, my phone goes off. Beep, 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 beep. And it reminds me to pray for the harvest. So I wanted to challenge you, and I wanted to encourage you right now. Get your phone out. Set your alarm. 10:02, 9:38. I don't care what it is. You can do a.m., you can do p.m. You do whatever time you think you're going to be the most focused and the most ready to pray for the harvest. And I want to challenge you for 30 days to set that alarm 7 days a week. Let it go off, and when it goes off, pray. Wouldn't that be cool if we as a church just all prayed at 9:38 every night for the harvest of our county, for the harvest of our country, for the harvest of this world, that God would put laborers in the field, that God would use us as laborers for that harvest? I hope you'll do that. I hope you'll take the time to do it, and I know you're going to be blessed because the principle of the harvest is a blessing. The principle of the harvest works in regards to our generosity towards others. It works in regards to our generosity towards God. It works in regards to our generosity towards serving. It works in our efforts of evangelism. It works. Not because we believe it works, not because what we believe about it makes it work. It works because it's God's principle. And when you understand and you obey God's principles, it produces blessings in your life. The principle of the harvest is an important one. The second one, the last one I'll talk to you about today, is another important one. It's the principle of faith. Faith, it's important. Like the principle of the harvest, the principle of faith is another thing many people don't understand or don't really make any effort to obey in their lives. Some of you might disagree with me, and that's okay. You can be wrong. It's a free country. You can be wrong about things. It's fine. Some of you might not agree with this, but I really don't think it takes much faith to live in America. It just doesn't. If you believe it takes great faith to live in America, you've probably never left America. You've probably never been to other parts of the world. It doesn't take much faith to live here where we live. And I know some of you are saying, yeah, but things are getting real hard. You know, the church is starting to be persecuted. The church is, so, yeah, things are harder today than they were 50 years ago. Sure. Harder than they were 100 years ago. Absolutely. But listen, if you think it's hard right now, that just means you're really soft. Because nothing we're going through is hard. Nothing we're going through is tough. If you think what we're going through right now is hard, you're probably going to be part of those who fall away when things really get hard. Because this ain't tough. This ain't hard. It's not hard to live in America. It doesn't take much faith to live here. Let's face it. Our freedom, our security, our prosperity, our opportunities, our medical technology and medical personnel and medical facilities, our access to education and learning, all of these and many other things put us in a position where we can just trust and hope in other things besides God all the time. We can trust and hope in things we can see, things we can touch, things we can feel, things we can experience, things we can buy, things we can have right now because they're right at the edge of our fingertips instead of us having to really practice true faith. Now, we know what faith is thanks to verses like Hebrews 11:1, which says, now faith is this, it's the reality of what is hoped for and the proof of what is not seen. But it's hard to live by that principle when everything you want, everything you can ever dream of, everything you could ever desire is right at your fingertips. And even if you can't get it today, you can probably get it tomorrow. And even if you can't afford it, somebody will loan you the money to get it. And even if you can't pay the loan, somebody will bail you out. It's hard to live by faith in a place like that because you're not forced to. You don't have to. And the reality is we all want to go on the path of least resistance. We all go the easy way. I do it too. And so we don't have to live by faith, and so therefore we don't. But I'm telling you, just like Archimedes' principle, faith is working all around you. It's present because it's a principle that God put into the DNA of creation. It's in the DNA of the universe in which you live. And if you start to understand it, and if you begin to obey it, it's going to open up an entirely new world that you've never been in before. Proverbs actually talks about the principle of faith like this. We've covered this verse in our series. It says this in Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding, and in all your ways know him, and he will make your path straight. We've talked about that. It's easy to talk about it, though. It's hard to actually do it. But we see the principle of faith and the principle of the path intersect right here. They overlap right here. Trust God, don't trust yourself. Desire to know him and him alone. That's the life of faith in a nutshell. And that's the principle that will make your paths straight. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, but if I don't really need to live by faith to be here, and if I don't really need it to work where I work, and if I don't really need it because the doctor or the hospital can just jot down a quick prescription to make me feel better. If I don't really need faith because the Lord has allowed me in his sovereignty and his generosity and he's positioned me and planted me in the greatest country the world has ever known, in the greatest time of economic prosperity the world has ever known, and he's put me there, and if I don't really need it, why should I go through all the effort to live in faith? If I don't really need it, why should I do it? It's a good question. It's not a bad one. I'll give you the answer. It's found in Hebrews 11:6. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God, since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. There's blessing in this principle. He rewards those who seek him. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, I don't know about you. I'm assuming because you've shown up at church when you could have done other things, you're somebody who wants to please the Lord. I'm assuming that you're somebody who wants to please God. But this tells us it is impossible to do that if we don't live in faith. And it's hard to live in faith where we live. You see, the principle of faith is an essential ingredient for pleasing God. Have you ever tried to bake something and left out an essential ingredient? You went to make that cake and you forgot the eggs? Go home and make you a pan of brownies and leave out the sugar. It ain't gonna taste right. See, some of us are trying to live a life of faith without any faith at all. How can we please God if we're not putting the one essential ingredient that he says you've got to have into the recipe? We've got to have faith. I love the story in Mark chapter 9. I think it illustrates so many different aspects of faith and the principle of real faith. The passage starts when the disciples come across a boy who's possessed by a demon. His dad actually brought him. There's a crowd there and they try to heal him, but they can't apparently. When all the dust settles, after all the commotion of all this is over, in Mark chapter 9, verse 28, it says this, after he had gone into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? Why couldn't we do it? In other words, Jesus, we want to do stuff like that. We want to be cool like you. They had tried, but they were unable to make a difference in the boy's life, in the boy's condition. And Jesus' response to their question in Mark is one thing, and we'll get to that. And his response to their question in Matthew, it's the same story, is a different response. It's actually the same response. I think Matthew just recorded one part of it, and Mark recorded the other. Matthew recorded it this way: then the disciples approached Jesus privately and said, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" And Jesus said, "Because of your little faith." If we had time to dive deeper here, we would see that the real issue is that the disciples had become cocky. You see, they had driven demons out successfully before. And when this came in front of them, they said, "Well, we'll just do it ourselves. We'll just say some words and he'll come out. We'll just make this happen." But they hadn't prayed and they hadn't asked God for help. They weren't doing it in faith. They're essentially trying to do it on their own. It's why in Mark's gospel, the emphasis is actually not on their lack of faith, but on their lack of prayer. In Mark's gospel, Jesus says, because this one can only come out by prayer. And it wasn't one or the other. It wasn't a lack of one or the other. It was a lack of both. They hadn't prayed and they haven't prayed in faith. They were putting their faith in their own power. They were putting their faith in their past success. They were putting their faith in themselves, not in God, to do the work. That's why they couldn't do anything. They couldn't do anything, so the situation gets elevated to Jesus. Look at verse 21, Mark chapter 9. "How long has this been happening to him?" Jesus asked his father. "From childhood," he said. "And many times it's thrown him into the fire or the water trying to kill him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, everything is possible for the one who believes." In other words, Jesus said, "Hey, there's already a principle at work around you. You just haven't tapped into it yet. Everything's possible for the one who believes. It's your faith here that we've got to talk about. There's already a principle of faith. You don't believe in it. You haven't seen it. You haven't experienced it, but it's already here. If you can." Jesus says, "If I can, who do you think I am? Who do I look like, some two-bit medicine man who just rolled into town? If I can, do I seem like some fly-by-night psychiatrist to you? If I can, you think I'm just some eloquent self-help guru that's got a new shiny book that's here peddling it and trying to get you to buy it? If I can," he says, "you're talking to the Son of God, man. Of course I can. The question isn't, can I?" Jesus says, "If I can, hold my Bible, you know? Step back, I'm fixing to show you something." He didn't say that, but that's kind of what he says. He says, "If you can," well, of course I can. Everything's possible for the one who believes. Of course I can do it. The question is, can you do it? The question is, can you believe it? Of course it's possible, but you've got to believe. There's a principle of faith already all around you. The question is, can you tap into it? Yeah, it's possible, but can you believe it? In other words, he says, "I can, but can you?" And I just love the honesty of this boy's father, and if you're a father, you got to feel for him. This guy's not a deacon at his local church. I mean, he's not a well-versed person in Scripture. He's just a dad trying to help his boy. He's never tapped into this faith thing before. And it says in verse 24, "Immediately the father of the boy cried out, 'I do believe, but help my unbelief.'" Don't you love that? "I'm believing with everything I've got, Jesus. I'm believing with every ounce of me and trying to believe in every way I possibly know I can believe. But if I'm not believing enough, could you help me with that too? I have faith, but I'm also struggling with my faith. So help me with my faith." You see, the principle of faith was already at work around this man and in his boy and in his life. He just hadn't tapped into it. He didn't invent the principle of faith here. Been there since the beginning of time. But understanding and obeying God's principles is what produces blessings in your life. And the result here is the boy is healed. The power of God and the principle of faith work in tandem together for the glory of God and the expansion of the kingdom. Because faith matters, faith works, faith makes a difference, faith is important. Faith is the foundation of our faith. You know where we all start our journey? I started my journey in the same place you started yours. We all started in faith. We all took a step of faith. We put our faith in Christ to forgive us of our sins. We put our faith in Jesus to wash us clean. We put our faith in Him to save our souls. We put our faith in Him to set us free. We left the comfort of trusting ourselves and trusting our ways and trusting what we had, and we joined Him in the adventure of a lifetime in faith. Paul said it like this to the Ephesians 2:8-9, "For you are saved by grace through faith." It's the only way to be saved, through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 says this, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father also loves the one born of Him." This is how we know that we love God's children, when we love God and obey His commands. For this is what love for God is, to keep His commands, and His commands are not a burden, because everyone who has been born of God conquers the world. But it doesn't end there. Look at this last part. This is the victory that has conquered the world. What is it? Our faith. And so many of us haven't tapped into it. The victory that conquers the world, y'all. This is for everyone who believes in faith. There's victory in that. This is the victory that has conquered the world. Our faith. My friends, this is the day of victory for the lost. This is the day of victory for every sinner. This is the day of victory for those who are far from God. This is the day of victory. This is the house of victory, because it's the victor's house. He's the God of victory. We echo the hope of victory as Paul declared to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15:57, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." See, if you're in need of victory today, repent of your sins, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, and you'll find victory, because you will be saved.
The message you heard today was just one from a series that's sure to bring you to a place of thinking and processing what you listen to. As Pastor Pete taught through the Bible in a meaningful way, what are some things that you noticed or that you gained like never before? Would you let us know? You can get in touch with Pastor Pete by going to onetoanotherradio.org and selecting the About tab. From there, click on Contact and send him a quick note of what you're learning from the Bible and what God's teaching you from these messages. Another way to connect with One to Another is in our podcast format. Gwen has more on that.
Does your lifestyle work best by listening to teachings through a podcast? It's no wonder, because then you don't have to worry about missing a single episode. Subscribing to the podcast allows you to go back and listen to past shows, as well as listen to a teaching again that really hit you in a personal way. Podcasts are also really easy to share with others, like friends or family, coworkers, or neighborhood acquaintances. There are easy opportunities to share the good news of Jesus with those you're around, and for lives to be changed by the truth of God and His Word. So search in your favorite podcast platform and find One to Another Radio. Simply hit the follow or subscribe button and you're good to go. If you'd like to find out more info about the podcast or any other resources available to you, go to onetoanotherradio.org. Here's Phil as he wraps things up for us today.
Thanks for that information, Gwen. We've been excited to see the interest that our listeners have taken in this radio program. If you'd like for us to continue staying on the air, we'd love to have your continued support in prayer as well as in a financial way to further the ministry that's happening. Just go to onetoanotherradio.org to learn more about how to give. And if you're a first-time supporter this month, we'll send you a free gift. That's onetoanotherradio.org and find the Donate tab. If you'd like to get in touch with us over the phone, we'd be happy to talk to you. Our number is 830-769-3733. That number one more time is 830-769-3733. We're looking forward to what Pastor Pete plans to share with us next time as we continue on in this series. Come join us and be encouraged by what God's doing in your heart and life. We'll continue on this path that God's leading us on next time on One to Another.